Hi, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, celebrating victory over internet pornography, and my name is Jim.
Hi.
Well, let's open in prayer. Holy Spirit, yes, pour forth on us tonight to bring peace, to bring calm, to bring healing, and to bring wholeness. Help us to be open to your movement within us. Bring forth those things that we need to bring into the light. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight's lesson is on admit. Before I go into the principles and the step, just if you're new tonight, so we teach 1 week, do a testimony, and next teach. We're going through a 26-topic series, if you will, in the teaching, and it repeats. So don't worry if you're jumping in right in the middle and this is your first meeting. As you saw when we did the 8 principles, we started with what brought us in the door, and that was we tried it on our own, and our life was unmanageable. For some, it was way out of control. For others, it was just a mess. And then we came to believe that there is a God that's greater than us, a God that could bring wholeness and healing into our life, and admitted that we needed that and invited God into that. And then we get to, let's start with principle 4 up here, which is openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and someone I trust. And the scripture that goes with that is, happier the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. In the 12 steps, this corresponds with step 5. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And the scripture that goes with that is, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. And that's James 5:16. So 2 weeks ago, Jack did the first lesson on these two, the principle and the step. And his focus was really on those first two, confess to myself and to God. So kind of the way I look at it is in step 4 of the 12 steps, we did a fearless searching moral inventory. And in doing that, in my mind, that's almost like confessing to myself. I'm being honest with what are the areas where I've caused harm in my own life and harm, you know, to others. And really working through those steps. If you've not done it within Celebrate Recovery, we do a list of those things where we've caused harm and also the good that we've done in our life to balance that out. I'd previously done 12-step in Al-Anon, and it was just the bad list, which there's plenty of work to do there. But it's also good to recognize that there were good things that God was doing in our life, and we acted in that goodness. So I just, you know, that's kind of a precursor to this. But like I say, that's being honest with ourselves. And then it's approaching God. And through God's word, we've got the promises of forgiveness. So a lot of times, okay, I can do that. Now we get to admit to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. That's why we have admit. Now you've got a handout there. I'll tell you when we're getting to the part where there's the fill in the blank. You're not there yet, so you can rest easy for a little bit. A lot of people ask, why do I have to admit wrongs to another human being, someone I trust? Well, many of us have been keeping secrets most of our life. They take a toll, cause a loss in self-respect, kind of lose energy, and they cause us to go into codependent kind of habits or dependent habits. Codependent could be, I'm going to try to prevent others from having any hurt and pain, and I'm going to pour myself into that and totally neglect myself and some of my closest relationships in order to do that. I might get accolades from it, but it also takes me away from the pain that I'm feeling. That's where codependence comes in. Other times we use things to distract us. It can be pornography. It could be work. I could get very busy at work and just work until you know, I'm done for the day, and I hit the pillow and I fall right asleep, and then I repeat that cycle the next day, never leaving time to be alone with myself and feel the feelings that I'm feeling. So that's another way we can do it. Alcohol is a very common one, or any kind of a drug where it's removing myself from the present moment so that I don't have to feel what I'm feeling. When we admit those things out loud, it strips them of their power, and they often lose the hold that they have on us by speaking it out loud. We're still often afraid to admit this to another person, even someone we trust. But what do you have to lose by telling the truth? Okay, so now we get to the fill in the blank. Why admit all of our wrongs? Well, we lose our sense of isolation. Somebody's going to come down into the darkness that we feel and come alongside us. And so our sense of being alone starts to go away. We're not alone in what we've struggled with. The second one is we begin to lose our unwillingness to forgive. When people accept what we've done and forgive us, it unlocks often my ability to forgive somebody else. The third one is we lose our inflated false pride. As we see who we really are in true humility, we allow others to see who we really are, and we can see God as He really is. Often, pride and shame are two sides of the same coin. Pride is often one where I want accolades from other people. I want them to notice me, and I want to get my worth from what other people think of me. Shame is, like I say, it's one of those things where kind of pride gets in the way of me admitting what I've done wrong because I don't want people to think less of me. But in doing that, it pulls me back from relationship, and I'm even more alone than I was before. And the fourth one, under why we should admit our wrongs, we will lose our sense of denial. Being truthful with another person will tear away our denial, and we begin to feel a lightness, maybe clean, maybe a level of honesty and light that we haven't experienced before. So those are the things that we can let go of. Now let's look at what are the benefits that you're going to gain. The first one is we gain healing that the Bible promises. So when you look at James 5:16, and it says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." So in that earlier step, when we confess to God, God forgives us. But in confessing to another person and getting prayer, that's where healing takes place. So that's what's important with James 5:16. It's confess to one another and pray for each other so you can be healed, that you can bring that wholeness back into your life. The second one is we gain freedom. Our secrets keep us in chains, and we're unable to move forward in our relationships with God and with others. Psalm 107, verses 13 through 14 say, "They cried to the Lord in their troubles, and He rescued them. He led them from their darkness and the shadow of death and snapped their chains." But unconfessed sin festers. In Psalm 32, 3 to 4, when David tried to hide his sins, he says, "When I did not confess my sins, I was worn out from crying all day long. My strength was completely drained." So admit and turn from your sins and remember the only sins God doesn't forgive are the ones that we don't confess. And we gain support. That's the third one. When you share your inventory with another person, you get support. That person can keep you focused and provide feedback. When the old habit of denial comes back and you are rationalizing, saying it's not that bad, or I saw someone else do that, or I can do it on my own, you've got someone there to hold you accountable and be honest and say, no, you know that's not true. I know that's not true. I tried it. That's not how it works. Often we want to blame the other. It's not my fault. Circumstances. And yet we need to take responsibility for what we've done. A couple of things about the freedom that brings. So some of you have heard my testimony and you've heard my updated testimony. And in the updated testimony in June of 2024, I went through a divorce after being married for 32 years. It was difficult. It wasn't what I wanted. But it happened, and I received a lot of support from my brothers in this ministry, through my church community, through coworkers and friends and family. But in that, I got first comfortable with myself, and then second, when I was ready to begin dating, one of the things I was very transparent about was part of what got me divorced was my struggle with pornography. 10, 11 years ago, when I had admitted it to my wife at that time, it was a very well-kept secret. She had no idea, and it really hurt her, and she viewed it as another person in our relationship. And so knowing that that's a part of my history, that has been something that I had shared with people I've dated. And the question was, well, why are you sharing that with me? Well, because it's a part of my history. It's a part of where I've come from. And you may find out later, and it could hurt you. And I don't want that on the front end of our relationship. So we can talk openly about it. With that, there's been some very good conversations like, oh, thank you for sharing, but I feel threatened. I'm worried that you're going to compare me. I'm worried that there's an expectation that I can't fulfill. I worry that I'm not enough, or I already have kind of self-image issues, so this brings those things up, and it allowed us to really talk and dialogue about that, and me to be able to just offer honestly, you know, my history and where I've come from. And in that, it allowed for closer sharing. So with that, though, I didn't have to be walking with a person and be like, well, what if they find out? No, telling the truth on the front end and getting it out in the open takes the power away from any threat. Any concern about my image or how I'm perceived. So how do you choose somebody to do this with? You don't want someone to say, you did what? You won't want someone to say, you shouldn't have done that. Obviously, we know that. So we've gotten to that point. But what you really need is someone that can come alongside. In Romans 3:23-24, all have sinned, yet now God declares us not guilty if we trust in Jesus Christ who freely takes away our sins. And in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So you need someone who can listen. It's best to choose someone who is a Christian and is familiar with the 8 principles or the 12 steps. Probably the most important thing, choose someone who's the same gender as you. It just will remove a lot of potential difficulties. Second, and my recommendation is pick a sponsor who's here, who's in this journey. Anybody with a lanyard's been through training, has been through a step study. Your sponsor does need to be someone who's been through a step study. So, ideally someone who struggled with what you've struggled with. There's two reasons for that. One is I don't feel judged by someone who's in the same group I'm in because we're there together, right? We earned our entry into the group through some of the same mistakes, same hurts. Second is, they're further down on the journey than I am, so they may have insights. They may also have just related stories of, here's how I overcame that. Here's some of the things that I did. But you know they're going to listen. One of the things I like about Celebrate Recovery that I didn't experience in Al-Anon, and this part about confess to another human being. So I was raised Catholic. I'm still a practicing Catholic. We've got the practice of going to a priest. So that's nice, and I always felt relief in doing that. But what's different here is I'm also inviting whoever I've done this with, my sponsor and my accountability partners, into a relationship to keep me accountable. It's not just that I confess. I'm confessing and I don't want to go back to the spot. And so I give them permission. And so like when I've, in the past, the struggle was when I'd be on a road trip for work and I'd feel lonely and isolated and I might turn to pornography. Well, now I've got guys in my group where I'm like, I'm going to be gone for 8 days. And so here's what I'm going to do to not get myself into the area of temptation. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to surf the internet just because I can. I'm not going to go on social media because social media creates traps. I'm not going to go into Sports Illustrated or any of the sports sites because they target men with their advertising. And so I'm going to do some things, and I'm going to check in with you each night. I'm going to text you, or I'm going to call you. And just in doing that act, it creates a barrier for me that, okay, I don't want to have to text them and say, yeah, I've failed, right? And that accountability has helped. The other thing is we come every week here in small group. That is a good time to check in on how are you doing on your progress, and what do you need to do differently? I don't know if women struggle with this, but guys are always, in my experience as a guy, how close to the line can I get? That's just a bad idea. Just a dumb idea, right? So a counselor I had seen said, you know, as it relates to pornography, that's going into the ditch, crashing your car in the ditch. So what gets you to the shoulder of the road? What gets you too close to the shoulder of the road? Well, like I said, drinking alcohol on the road, that gets me over there. That removes some inhibition, and I don't need that. Being around the wrong kind of people can create a problem for me, right? Not dealing with my emotions and just stuffing them. So a couple things I do is journal. Because even if I don't want to talk with anyone, I'm like, I don't really want to talk about it right now. But writing it down on paper and getting it out of my head and into another presence helps. And then I can offer that up in prayer, right? And invite God into that. So that's another way of not getting there. And then, you know, the other thing is like having a co-pilot in the car. Someone else just say, hey, you're getting too close to the white line over here. Okay, that's really helpful. So that's what you're looking for in a sponsor, somebody who's been on this journey with you, who you feel comfortable with. Nobody feels really comfortable, just to be honest, with here's all the junk that I've done. Yeah, just it doesn't feel real good to do until you're done. On the front end, it's nerve-wracking in the process. But the healing part of it is definitely worth it. So same gender, sponsor or accountability partner. Third is set an appointment with the person, a time without any interruptions. No kids, no phone, no meetings to have to go to. Ideally an open time, but at least 2 hours. I've given and listened to inventories in the backyard on a summer day on a 1 acre lot, right? So that's a good out of the way place in a city park. The city libraries often have rooms you can check out. Done that, Beaverton Library before. Someone's home, as long as, like I say, they don't have other responsibilities in the home. Lots of ideas. Church, done it in churches, often have offices that are open or available. So those are other good places. Coffee shop, not so great. So set aside time, place. In that meeting, a few guidelines. Start with prayer. Ask for courage, humility, and honesty. Here's a sample prayer. God, I ask that you fill me with your peace and strength during my sharing of my inventory. I know that you've forgiven me for my past wrongs. Thank you for sending your son to pay the price for me so that my sins can be forgiven. During this sharing time, help me be humble and completely honest. Thank you for providing me this program and the name of whoever you're with. Thank you for allowing the chains of my past to be released. In my Savior's name, amen. Second, read the principal four verses found on page 25 of the Participant's Guide, number 3, Getting Right with God and Yourself and Others. If you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, in the back is the Participant's Guide. It's 4 books that you would do in a step study. You can get them in advance if you'd like, but the step study is the place where you often do this work. I should have said that at the beginning. If you've never done a step study, we can tell you about it a little bit later in more detail. Again, as I said earlier, keep your sharing balanced, weaknesses and strengths, and then end in prayer. So there's also at the bottom of this a leader's question or a question anyone can use. When we break into small groups a little bit later, it's a good one to discuss if you're stumped with what you want to talk about this week. For me, I'll talk about how my week has been, how I've done in my own recovery, my own sobriety, and any struggles I might be having in relationships or work or just in my personal life. So thank you very much.